week, and then I promise we'll go get to other things. But voting is this week. Use your voice, your vote, and your prayers this week. You know, we've got a country that gives us the right to vote and have a say, and a lot of people don't have that. And again, we need to take advantage of it before it's too late, because like I said, they're already trying to play with the Electoral College, and that's part of the thing being a republic. We have the Electoral College, which every state has a say. You know, it's not the majority, which would be the people where they live in California and New York making all the decisions. So they're trying to battle and do away with the Electoral College. So that's part of it. So, and I know it's kind of frustrating sometimes. You think and you hear everybody say, well, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just one vote. It's not going to make a difference. You know, or there's no one to vote for. You know, there's just nobody there that I care to vote for. Or you get into, well, you have to vote for the lesser of the evils. You know, the lesser of the two evils or the lesser of the three evils. But we do need to vote. We need to vote and take our right that we've been given and take advantage of it. You know, so many that don't vote, I ever say, well, if it's the lesser of the two evils, I'm not even going to do it. But they keep complaining about it. So if you're not going to vote, don't complain about it. If you didn't exercise your vote and try to make a difference, you know, you got to use it. You got to use what's been given to you. You know, we got a government of freedom through God-given wisdom to a group of men who wrote the Constitution, and they saw a lot of things, I think, in their mind that God give them in the future, how they set it up. They had to be godly wisdom to set it up. So we need to exercise our vote and exercise our faith then that it will matter. It will make a difference. You know, if you're not going to vote, a lot of other people will. Up to 104% of them, 106% of them. You know, y'all know that's not possible, right? Y'all know 105% of the voters is not possible. It's scary to watch it on TV while it's happening. And thinking that can't possibly be true. You know, if you get 60%, 70% turnout, that's fantastic. That's great. And all of a sudden we're getting 104%, 106%. So our votes does matter. And we need to do it. You know, a couple of quotes that I found. Judge Roy Moore says, "Separation of church and state was never meant to be separation of God and government. They're two entities, but God needs to be in them." Another one I found didn't give credit to anyone. And says, "The government of the United States is acknowledged by the wise and good of other nations to be the most free, the most impartial, the most righteous government of the world. But all agree that for such a government to be sustained many years, the principles of truth and righteousness taught in the Holy Scriptures must be practiced." And that's where we've gotten away from. We've gotten away from the Scriptures and what the Bible teaches as being right, the difference between right and wrong, and how to live our life. And I know we need to look at things to vote, but you know, we need to look at platforms. You know, we really have parties. You know, we got Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, and then Independents for the most part is who we have. But we need to look at the platforms that those groups go on as a whole. And then we need to look at the candidates as individuals and see what they go on. And then we need to pray about them. And then we need to pray for them no matter what the outcome is. That's what God calls us to do. So I'll start out today in 1 Timothy. I've got a few sections, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. It says, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. We've talked before, God is a God of order, not a God of chaos. He wants order, and he's ordained agents and agencies to have authority to keep order, which we talked about. And he says, why? So we can live peaceful lives in godliness and holiness. You know, that's why it's set up, so we can be a godly people, so we can be a holy people. And it says that's good and pleases God. Because if we're living that way, it allows more people opportunities to be like God. It allows more people opportunities to come to God, to come to know him, the knowledge of him, what he does. And even, you know, we can do our part, but even if we don't, God always does his part. You know, governments and authorities have God-given power, but again, how they use it is answerable to God. You know, nations that turn from God and fall are subject to him. You know, as nations go downward and corrupt authority becomes greater and people start suffering, and that's not what God said. He wants us to live, you know, in godly, peaceful and godliness and holiness. That displeases God, and God will have the final say. We see in Psalms chapter 9, verses 15 through 20. It says, the nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his acts and justice. The wicked are ensnared by the works of their hands. The wicked go down to the realm of the dead, all the nations that forget God. But God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. Arise, Lord, do not let mortals triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Strike them with terror, Lord. Let the nations know they are only mortal. So, governments just run by people. You know, they're not perfect, just like churches aren't perfect. They're run by people, but they're answerable to God, just like we are. And if they choose to be ungodly, there will be consequences, just like for us. Psalms 94, 20 to 23 says, can a corrupt throne be allied with you, a throne that brings on misery by its decrees? The wicked band together against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my fortress and my rock, and my God the rock in whom I take refuge. He will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord our God will destroy them. You know, it matters who gets voted into these powerful positions. You know, everyone's affected. You know, the people either reap the benefits of the good leadership or they pay the price for bad leadership. You know, and it happens in a lot of areas of life, not just one. You know, sinful choices are painful for us as individuals, but, you know, a nation of sinful leaders is painful for about everyone. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. And Proverbs 14:33 and 34 says, wisdom reposes in the heart of the discerning, and even among fools she lets herself be known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. No, we need to be wise in our votes. We need to be smart about it, you know. So how do we choose? Well, we normally choose by things that matter to us. And what things matter to us. But what things matter to us should be the same things that matter to God. You know, we look at the parties, we look at the platforms. What do they stand for? Do they have a biblical worldview? Or are they more into the New World Order? Do they promote abortion rights, or do they promote the sanctity of life? Rights is another one I could go on and on about. It's like people calling us a democracy when we're not. We're a republic. You know, everybody's saying, well, that's my right to do this. You know, I have that right. I have abortion rights. I have gun rights. I have the right to do this. I have the right to do that. But basically have the right to do whatever I want. And everywhere you look, certain people claim the rights that don't exist. They just don't exist. And they try to take away rights that are actually given, you know, by God. But even in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, you know, there's certain rights that are given. You know, everything you can do doesn't mean you have a right to do it. You know, we have a given right to protest, but we don't have a right to cause violence and tear stuff up. You know, it's not a license for new TVs and clothes and electronics and all of that kind of stuff. You know, our laws say we can protest. We can try to make our position known, but there's a limit. You know, you can't cause damage and hurt people. We have a right to praise God. But others don't have a right to cause violence against it. You know, just because they don't agree. You know, we have laws that protect life along with God's word. Yet some claim the right to destroy life. You know, to murder. You know, that's my right. You know, they don't have a right to murder. They don't have a right to kill. You know, these platforms, do they look at families being what God ordains as between a man and a woman? Or is it only a version of love that matters? A version of love that matters. You know, is it God that influences them? Or is it ungodly influences that they're following? You know, do they promote biblical sexual values or freedom to do as you want? Are they concerned for the poor, for the needy? Are they concerned for our veterans? Are they concerned for our police and our other public servants? Are they concerned for the kids? Do they stand with Israel? That's what we're seeing split across our country now. Do they stand with Israel? Are we still in their corner? God says those that do will be blessed. Those that don't will be cursed. They need to stand with Israel. So you look at those and then you look at the individuals. You know, party platforms have a lot of stuff. And you hopefully they're in a group. But then we need to look at the individuals inside of those and what they stand for. And many don't always follow the party lines. They pick and choose. As people pick and choose God's word, they pick and choose what they want to do. But if we look at God's word, you'll find a lot of the qualities we're looking for. You know, it applies in church leadership, it applies in government leadership, it applies to leadership of any kind. You know, as far as government, you check their records. You know, check their voting records. Check their comments that they make. As they talk, check and see if what they say matches what they do. You know, as believers, what we say should match what we do. It should be in their case too in leadership. What they say should match what they do. You know, we want people of character, honesty, morality, courage to stand up, integrity. It's a person who cares about the people. You know, it's ideally one who seeks wisdom from God and doesn't compromise God's word. He's sacrificial. You know, isn't all about himself. He's willing to do what it takes, even when it's painful. Keeps his promises. Has respect for life and is influenced by God. You might say, well, is there anyone like that? Well, I know Jesus isn't running for office. He's still in charge, but you might say, you know, is there anyone like that? You know, sometimes Sometimes you just have to pick the best available, you know, pick the one, you know, as the military always says, in the foxhole. Who do you want in the foxhole with you? You know, what one's going to be in there beside you? What one's going to be in there to help protect you instead of just himself? What one's going to be there and not leave? What one's going to be there to fight with you and alongside you? Are they probably going to meet all those qualifications? Probably not. Probably not. But we can still pick the best and pray them up. Pick the best and pray them up. We're going to have an invitation in a minute. And we're going to have communion afterwards. But we do live in a country that's very blessed. And I see things starting to change and be challenged from the downward spiral that seems like we've been in. You know, for every Columbia college that wants to burn down the building and tear up things, we got a Liberty College. Christians standing up. You know, Christians can stand and make a difference, and that's what we're called to do. You know, and I think this generation is beginning to stand up and say that's enough. I think Christians are starting to stand up and say this is enough. So our voice, our vote, and our prayers can change our country and the world. But always remember, our hope is in the Lord, not in man. Man isn't faithful, but God always is. Psalms 146, 1 through 6. Says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those who help us, the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. Let's pray. Father, we know you're on the throne. We know you're in charge of all things. We know you put governments and leadership in its place and with instructions on how to run things, Lord, that it would be a peaceful, that it would be a protective, that it would be an encouraging type of leadership, Lord. And Lord, we've fallen on some hard times in those areas. And Lord, we turn it over to you that we pray this election, we pray leadership throughout the world is changed, Lord. We pray for them to, Lord, pray for them to come to know you. We pray for you to be in their life. We pray that you would convict them and draw them to you, Father. We pray for salvation for them. We pray for changes in them, Lord, that they would see what you would have them to be, what you would have them to do, that they would be a leader that you would have them to be. Father, help us as we research, as we search out, as we extend the right we have to vote in this country. And again, this country is so good to us, Lord. So many freedoms that many don't have. They were fought for. And now we have a fight again of sorts. Lord, I ask you to lead that battle. Just help us to return us to what you would have us to be. The God-fearing nation that you created. That our founding fathers knew who we were and planned accordingly. But Father, we just ask you to open our eyes to truth. Help us to do what we can do as believers and as Christians, Lord, that the examples are ourselves, that we would be the leaders that you want us to be. So Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you did put government and leaders in charge, and again, we just pray that you would just that your will be done. And we know you use good ones, we know you use bad ones for your will. And Lord, we trust you in that. And we know you're on the throne no matter what, and our confidence.
confidence and our hope is in you only. Lord, we just ask through all of this that you be lifted up. Jesus, we may know that your word would go forth. We just ask it, we praise it, and then ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.